Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Wednesday, everybody, and I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 22nd, 2012, episode 343, sponsored by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, no, I was tasked with the job of coming out of the music on time. How did I do? Did I do okay?
You did
Hello?
Great, because Glenn disappeared off the air. He was so fast. Hey,
I'm back.
What did you do? Where did you go? Well, here I am. You tasked me with, we're going to see how you do coming out of the music, see if you're asleep this time. And I was not asleep, and then you disappear.
Yeah, 343 episodes it took you.
I don't do every one, so only about half of those I've screwed up. Not all of them. Well, I did okay today. So
and then
go.
I was on mute, so me today. It's the same as me today, because I was on mute.
It's your fault. It is your fault. I love it. So it's a beautiful day here in Phoenix. I would like to announce that I did not have to blanket my horses last night because the low was only like 50. So how's the weather in beautiful Kentucky?
Actually, we're supposed to hit 60 today.
Woohoo! As a high?
As a high, we're supposed to hit 60, and tomorrow's going to be 66.
That's kind of a big deal because we're high of 80. It's really nice.
Yeah, you guys must be so, yeah, you kind of get used to the 80s and you think how nice it is and everything, and then it gets up to 120 in 2 months.
Don't bring that up. I have to enjoy every day of February. Spring training is around the corner. It is still, I used to hate February because it was a time where you knew you had to break ice water buckets for your horses. You have to, you know, clean the snow out of their hooves as they're coming in. It's just, February has always been awful. And now living in Phoenix, Arizona, February is a beautiful, wonderful time for me. It's my favorite month.
I'll tell you what we've had a problem with here is not so much the ice, because it's been mild everywhere pretty much except the very north where a lot of our listeners are. But we've had mud central, and a couple of the horses at the barn, one we were taking care of, just have had abscesses because the mud gets packed up in there, a little tiny stone, and you can't quite get it all out. And it's just, you know, a half a foot of mud. So abscesses have been a problem this year.
Yeah, I would imagine. I keep having to paint my horse's hooves with moisturizer.
You want some mud? We can ship some over.
That's so on down. I'd love it. I'd love it. Hey, Jennifer, what is on today's show?
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, we will be doing our best to keep Glenn on track because we're opening the show with a chat about spotted walking horses over at Heaven's Gate Farm. They breed and train horses for trail riding, and if I'm not mistaken, Glenn will be mentally hacking through the Smoky Mountains 5 minutes into this conversation. So expect distractions. And next up, the Horse.com's Horse Health Report will be making Glenn go off his feed again as we continue our All About Babies February and learn about healthy foals. So stay tuned, folks.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. Seems to be all about me today.
It's always all about you, Glenn.
My daily Winnie is terrific news. Do you remember, Jamie, we had New Vocations. They're the Thoroughbred Adoption Organization that came on last week. We're going to have them on once a month to highlight a particular horse. And last week they highlighted a horse by the name of Native Tongue. Well, we were excited to learn this morning. Jennifer got an email from him, and Native Tongue was adopted out last weekend.
Yay!
Isn't that cool?
Woo-hoo! Oh, that is such great news. Congratulations to Native Tongue and to the new owner and to New Vocations. It's just a great organization. They're doing some great work. So if you're looking for a thoroughbred to adopt, definitely check out New Vocations.
At horseadoption.com. And they're going to come on again next month with another highlight horse. And maybe we can keep up this track record. That was a week. Woohoo! I don't know if we had anything to do with it, but we're just going to say we did.
Own it. Just own it. My daily Winnie gets one of these. Glenn.
Oh, I thought you were going to do it.
Happy birthday.
I don't know why we would need a horse Winnie in it, because my brother really does not like horses at all and is definitely not listening to this show. So I don't know why I'm giving him a happy birthday daily Winnie. I'll probably just, you know, Facebook him like everybody else in the world. But happy birthday to my brother and George Washington. There you go. That's my daily Winnie.
Is it George Washington's birthday? You know, the other thing we missed was yesterday was Fat Tuesday. We were supposed to eat large quantities of donuts yesterday morning, Jennifer.
It's oh, wow.
We missed it.
You know,
I have to fix that.
I need to actually let you guys know of a couple things that we've missed. First of all, Monday was President's Day. We never made mention of that.
You're right.
But Fat Tuesday is the important one, right, Glenn? And I would like to also announce that today is National Pancake Day. So everybody has to go eat pancakes. There you go. That's your news.
National Pancake Day be the first day of Lent, which is also, let's mention that it's also Ash Wednesday. So don't forget to mention that, too. How can National Pancake, that was ill-timed.
Well, I don't think anybody actually gives up pancakes for Lent, do they? I mean, that's kind of specific. Don't they give up smoking or drinking or, and I say they, I guess I should say me, no. don't people give up, like, chocolate or something like that? Not pancakes.
I know, I always cheated a little. I always found the thing to give up that I wasn't, you know, I cheated. I got to admit, I did cheat.
You're like, I'm going to give up. Smoking.
I did do chocolate one year. Jennifer,
and I told you never again.
No, I did chocolate one year, and I actually made it the whole way through, but I think I was pretty grouchy, and she wouldn't let me do it again. So it's all Jennifer's fault, and I'm a heathen.
I'm giving up crack for Lent this year. I swear I'm not going to do it during this two-week period.
No, it's not 2 weeks.
That?
It's more like a long time. It's like a couple months.
Okay. I can give up crack for that period of time, too, so we're good. Well, you guys, I didn't tell you something that I did yesterday and that I had planned because I didn't know if it would be very exciting. And what is a day in the life of horse shopping if not exciting? I mean, why would I think it wouldn't be exciting?
Okay, where are you going to put more horses? Is this for you?
Okay, this horse is not for me. Kind of a very sad, tragic story is my friend lost a horse to a horse that she had raised to a genetic disorder that she didn't know of until years into having him, and she lost him, and she had spent a whole lot of money on this horse. So she spent a lot of money on buying the best bred horse that she could. She raised it, and it turns out to have a genetic disease where it's not, you know, she lost it. So she decided that she was ready to get another horse. And she wanted to adopt one this time, a rescue one. No buying expensive horses. There's enough horses out there that need to be rescued. So she was going to do that. So I kind of put the word out. I called the jail where I got, you know, two of mine. I called some friends. I just said, hey, if anybody can, like, put the word out there for a horse that needs a home, my friend is looking. Didn't really kind of know what she was looking for, but she just decided, let's go look and see what we can find. So yesterday morning, went out to see, I'd lined up 4 horses to go look at yesterday. And in Phoenix, they were all scattered around, and I didn't, you know, that was going to take a whole day. So we go look at the first horse. And the only thing that the lady told us on the phone was that the horse had, you know, a very sound broke, you know, no problems with this horse. There's a little bump on the knee. But if you'd have to look really close to see it. So come on out. So we're like, all right, we'll come on out. And we drove to Gilbert yesterday, which is like the equivalent of driving to Louisville for you guys in Lexington. So long drive. Get all the way out there. First of all, the lady doesn't show up for the appointment that we made with her to rescue this horse. It was a horse adoption facility. Which, the horse adoption, when we got there, we found out he was actually $3,500. So I don't know how that's a horse adoption.
Oh, that's an expensive adoptable horse.
Exactly. And so she wasn't there, but we knew what horse we were looking for, and we were looking for a horse named Big Al, and he was the big gray horse. So we kind of talked to some people around, and I said, okay, where's Big Al? Which
sounds like a
Big
sitcom,
Al?
Big Al.
Yeah. Big Al was in the pasture, so we decided to walk out there and just take a look at him, see if the lady was going to show up. This is the, it was a 16-1, supposedly, 16-1 hand horse with just, oh, a minor blip on the knee that you just really would have to look hard at. I have never had anybody lie about the height of a horse and say that he's shorter. Big Al was not 16-1. If somebody says a horse is 16-1, how tall do you think it is?
You already you assume 15 and a half.
Yep. Big Al was 18 hands if he was anything.
He was Big Al.
How they could sit there and write down that this horse is 16-1 and at least 17-3, Glenn. At 17, this was a giant. I've never had anybody lie backwards about the height of a horse. Usually they'll go, he's 17.3, and you get there and he's like 16.2. But nobody ever lies about saying their horse is shorter. And the other thing was the minor blip on the knee that you about need a microscope to see was about the size of a softball. I'm like, really? Well, what? I'm coming out to see the horse, for God's sake. How could you not tell me why lie if I'm on my way to see it? Like, why? And then she never even showed up, so we left, and we thought we were pretty lucky to get out of there. So the next horse we go see was a thoroughbred that never really raced because he had an old injury. And we get there, and he, again, was just way too big for her. He was like 17-2. If anybody needs a 17-2 hand thoroughbred, let me know. I've got one down the street. Then I got the call about a horse that there was a woman who had a couple horses in her backyard, and they had been abandoned in her backyard, and she's been taking care of them for a year, sort of. And that she's moving to Oklahoma on Thursday, and the horses need to be gone because she's leaving. So it sounded pretty sketchy, obviously. What's she going to do, leave them there after she moves away? So we decided to go out there, and this is it. We're talking middle of nowhere. And get out there. Jennifer, if you want to post the picture of the horses in the pasture – and on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page.
Okay.
The amazing part of this is that there were some horses in the backyard of a dirt lot. And it's a pony, which she told me was a Friesian. And the only close part of it being a Friesian was that it was black. The Friesian was a 13-2 hand pony that had probably never been handled, and he's like 10. So he's wild as a deer out there. And then there was this 16-something hand gray thoroughbred. Well, I get out there, and my friend's coming to meet me there. We were in different cars, and I get out there and I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be a tough one because this place is scary. Scary. And Jennifer's going to post the picture on the Facebook page now of the fencing. The fencing, Glenn, is baling twine. Baling twine that has been tied together to fashion a gate. So to actually get the horses out of the pasture, you would have to cut the fence down to get the horses out of the pasture. Are you with me here?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
But she doesn't know how to tie a quick-release knot. That way she doesn't have to keep cutting it. Come on.
The point being, Jennifer, these horses have not been out of this dirt lot in a year. I mean, it was amazing. And they had a little goat there, too. And so go out and look at this horse. And she's a very nice lady. She's just like, you know, I mean, these horses are neglected and they've been abandoned here. She shows me the papers from the thoroughbred and the note that the owner wrote, leaving the horse there. So the owner wrote a note, left the papers, and abandoned the horse at this lady's dirt lot. Now, in the dirt lot is tractor equipment, pieces of wire. There was an open manhole. You know, how many rescue stories have we done? Yeah, an open well.
What's the problem with that? We see that all the time in Kentucky.
Yeah, and there's horses stuck in it. So I didn't look down in it. There might have been 3 horses there before. I don't know. but this horse is, it took me a while to kind of catch him. I had to get some grain and trying to catch the thoroughbred, the Frisian, the 13-hand pony Frisian, was uncatchable. So we get the gray horse, and I get the gray horse, and I put a halter on him and put a lead rope on him, and then he's, like, super calm. And I pick up his legs, and I pick up all his feet, and he's looking at his papers. He's been sold 100 times, and he's 8 years old, and I checked his tattoo, and he is 8 years old. And I decide to go ahead and try to kind of get him to lunge a little bit on the lead rope. I start getting the lunge, and I, oh my God. I call my friend, and I'm like, get your butt over here fast, because this horse is nice. Now, mind you, this horse is completely covered in dirt, has like half a mane that's a foot long, half the mane is like 3 inches long. His tail is a foot and a half long. His tail looks like, you know, it's been docked almost. It's so short. He is covered in dirt. It's just kind of like a horrible looking animal, but the biggest diamond in the rough I have ever seen. And now, Jen, if you want to post the second one of him and the pony out in the safe, wonderful pasture that they've been living in for a year. So I call my friend. She gets out there. She's got some tack. I'm like, this is crazy to ride this horse. Oh, by the way, the woman was giving the horse away, totally free, just take it off my property.
Get him out
and
of
I know
here.
How you guys, yeah, get him
if
out.
You have to take the pony, too?
Well, if I could have caught the pony, I probably would have taken him, but, excuse me, we put some tack on the horse. And, you know, just kind of gingerly kind of lunge him around in the saddle, end up getting on him. This horse is, like, broke to death. I mean, he's not broke to death, but he's so calm. All he's done, he came straight off the track to this woman that he lives in this pasture. So the only training he's ever had is on the racetrack, and he must have raced till he was 7. So I get on him, and I'm riding him around, and he's, like, really good. So I'm a little confused. Maybe he's, yeah, I mean, he's been living in this pasture, and now you can see that the Jennifer posted it on our Facebook page, the pasture that this horse was living in with one tree. Horrible. So I'm like, we got to take him. Of course, I didn't have my trailer. Always take your trailer when you go horse shopping. You just, why not? So I had to drive all the way back across the city, get my trailer. My friend and I drive all the way back. And we put and then the horse loads. No, after cutting him down out of the baling twine fence, we get him out. Now, the woman that is moving, we are going to go to her house, you know, the day after she's slated to move, and just make sure that the pony and goat had a home. If not, we will we will get them and or call the sheriff or whatever needs to be done to make sure these horses are not the horse and goat are not abandoned. So we're going to take care of them. But so I get this horse home. She doesn't have a place to board it or anything, and so she's like, "Can we just leave it at your house for a while?" Oh, sure. 7 horses, 6 stalls. Why not bring the 8th horse home? So we are currently in a pasture rotation right now, Glenn, as we bring the horse home. So I bring the horse home. We put him in the pasture, and I'm giving him some food. I just started on that. He was eating, like, pure alfalfa and sweet feed. And by the way, he didn't have much of it, of either one of them. He's quite poor.
That's a good
and
thing.
Full of, yeah. Full of sand, you know. He's like, we checked him for sand, and he is like, his poop was half sand. I mean, he's just been eating dirt for so long. So we bring him home, put him in the pasture, and I kind of, you know, the only really way I was able to see him move was on this lead rope, basically. And I got him to trot around on the lead rope, and I could tell he had a really nice trot, and then turned down the pasture in her area. She kind of chased him a little bit before I made her stop, because I'm like, he's going to cut himself. I go, I don't want to chase him around out here. Look at all that. There's too much stuff in the pasture. And she goes, he's been running out here for a year. He'll be fine. Oh, my God. So...
I'm looking at it, and you're right, it's just baler twine. How much baler twine did it take to get around?
Well, the gate was the really exciting baling twine part. The rest of it was barbed wire for about 10 feet, and then when it was like no climb for like 10 feet, and then there was like a bunch of stuff pushed up against the next 10 feet, and then another baling twine gate. I mean, we're talking piece together. When I got to this place, I was like, oh my God, I got to get out of here. But the woman came out, and she was very nice. And so we get the horse and we get him home. Chad comes in the driveway. He's all excited. You know, I don't know why he gets excited about this stuff, but he's like a total horse husband now. I don't know. He's like, let's see the new horse. So we go out to the field. We've been standing there for an hour, and I get out my little video camera. Well, next door, Maggie Moo, the neighbor cow, goes for a walk, and he sees the cow. And this is what he did trotting around the field. So his name is now Goosebumps. She called him Goose because we had Goosebumps.
That's not on the list of the top 100, Goosebumps.
No, but I want you to watch this video and watch this horse trot around the field. He's doing a passage as he's trotting around the field. It's amazing. He is the coolest horse. I mean, totally laid back.
Oh, my
gosh. Completely chill.
Like he's kind of got the tail up, and he's kind of almost got an Araby trot there.
I would more like to say it's a passage, Glenn. You know, not an Arab trot. The reason his tail sticks straight up is because he doesn't have one. It's a foot and a half long. But we're pretty excited about him. She cried and cried and cried because she's kind of had such a rough go of it. And she decided to rescue one. And I think we did pretty good finding a super fancy, nice guy. You can tell how raggedy he is. He's just a mess. But day at the spa commences today, where he will get a bath and have his hooves painted and maybe a little mane pull, and let's see if we can get him looking a little decent. But he is a very sweet horse, and I'm excited to be able to provide that for my friend. Never have had people lie about the height of horses, and never have seen a horse facility. Like, I was trying to think, like, this horse must have such a great sense of self-preservation. If he can live for a year in this field and not just walk through baling twine.
I know. Get out. I was thinking that. We spend all this money on fencing, and here's these two that stayed in the baling twine mishmash sort of fence that we would have never considered doing because our horses would have gotten out. But these two, nope, they're just in there.
It's really, it was really amazing. I'm not kidding. This is crazy. So Goose is now in the front pasture, and we'll keep you posted on how he does. But this is now my friend's next event horse.
There you go. He's cute, actually. I'm I'm not a big gray guy. I've said that before in the air. I just don't like gray horses a whole lot. But he's kind of cute.
He's cute, and he's just as sad as they come. Now he's quite excited to be out in a grass field with other horses around him. And, oh, gosh. So, anyway.
Watch that colic.
Oh, yeah. Well, my grass is only like half an inch long. It is February. So he's not going to get too much grass with 8 horses on 3 acres. You really have a hard time keeping it tall. It's not Kentucky. So there you go. That's the story. Welcome to the world, Goose.
Well, good job, Goose. I'm glad Goose got saved and Goose was the next racehorse. And that leads us to a story that came out today that I was kind of disappointed at. And we'll just go over this before we get to our guest coming up here. Do you remember the horrific story of Kelsey Lefevre, the 24-year-old from Honeybrook, Pennsylvania, who decided that she was going to deceive everybody and take horses off the track, telling everybody that she was a horse rescue, and then sell them to be shipped to Mexico and Canada for meat to be slaughtered? Well, you know, they had arrested her on 4 counts of theft by deception, and she went to court. And they decided, the judge decided, or they came to a plea agreement, I think is actually what happened. She was actually charged on 5 counts. They dropped it to 4. And she has now been put into what they call, let me see here, first time offenders program, which means she gets no jail time. She gets put on probation. She will be restricted from activities relating to horses. Well, that's a good thing. She will be banned from life from attaining a Pennsylvania thoroughbred racing license and is barred from racetrack employment of any kind, including horse training. She's forbidden from acquiring any additional horses for a 2-year duration of her probation. Let's see here. Her lawyer said, of course, that he thought this was more than fair, and the judge, basically, they just don't have room in jails for people anymore. And they're hoping that this will do this. I didn't realize till I read this that she was a show rider as well. And I didn't know that. She was a show rider and trainer. I don't know what kind of showing she did. It just says horse show circuit and champion rider. But, you know, we want to remind people that she was quoted as saying in the prosecution statement, "I killed every one of those blank horses, over 120 of them. Every one of them is dead. I don't even know their names, and it wasn't a thing, there was not a thing the sellers could do about it because they gave me those horses." So I just wanted to remind everybody of why I'm kind of upset that she didn't get any jail time at all. 30 days, something, you know, something.
That's horrible. That is the complete disrespect of an animal's life right there by, you know, the obviously by her name is Kelsey Lefevre, and then the judge who said that this was not jail worthy. It makes me sick.
I know, but I thought I'd report on it and let everybody know about that. We're going to be back to talk about a happier topic, because how could you not be happy talking about spotted saddle horses? Any horse that's spotted is fun. And we're going to talk a little bit about trail riding. You know, about 80% of the horse world is trail riders, and I don't think we spend probably enough time on the morning show here. Jennifer's a big trail rider, and it's something that I like to do occasionally. So we're going to talk about trail riding horses in just a minute, but first we're going to talk about Back on Track products.
Well, we are here with Bo from Back on Track Products, and we're going to highlight today the saddle pad. Tell us about the saddle pad.
The saddle pad is starting to get more and more popular. People some have bought them, buying more. They really like them, and Michelle Gibson is one of them. Some is a top dressage rider, and it's good quality, and what it do, same there, reflect the body warmth back like a far infrared rear. It's not, they don't overheat the horse or anything. They just keep the more supple and loose. Mm-hmm. And it's a good quality and affordable. They're $79, and it's like a good quality saddle pad.
That's very affordable for a saddle pad that's going to increase the blood flow.
Yeah.
Under that. That's amazing. I had no idea.
Are they the type of saddle pad that they can be used both in practice and show?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So absolutely. They're show quality. They
yeah,
look.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. So they look like a normal saddle pad. You can't see the difference, but it really makes a difference. I don't ride myself, but everybody tells me. And since the increase of saddle pad have been very good, it's actually that products have increased most in our sales. So it means we get a lot of repeat customers. So that means.
Is it a square pad or is it the shape of the saddle?
It's a square pad. So, you know, we have all purpose and dressage, and we're going to get one. Goes around
shaped
one. Shaped
yeah.
one too. Yes.
Shaped ones as well. Well, that's great. And $79.95, and they are machine washable.
Yes.
You know, for what it does, that's a terrific price, because we have seen some saddle pads here that don't do anything but be a saddle pad for hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is actually $79.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, it's pretty, and it's a good quality to hold up, you know, like a regular saddle pad of good quality. Yes.
Make your horses happy. Go to backontrackproducts.com and get the saddle pad. It'll definitely improve their attitude.
Well, that's Back on Track Products. We appreciate them being a sponsor here of Horses in the Morning. And now we have our first guest on today. She is Judy, and she is from Heaven's Gate Farm. And they deal in trail horses, Tennessee Walkers, and spotted saddle horses. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Glenn.
I'm so glad you could join us today. I've been following you guys on Facebook for quite a while, and you're always posting pictures of your pretty horses. And, you know, it used to be years ago that quarter horses were the thing you see most on trails, and now people, serious trail riders, are switching to Tennessee Walkers or to other forms of gated horses. And I would say that most of what we see now out there is gated horses if you're doing some serious trail riding.
Well, have you ever rode one yet, Glenn?
Yes, I have. I actually learned to ride on a gated horse. That's how
oh,
I started.
Well, once you feel that gate, it's hard to go back to the trot, especially those long hours on the trails if you're a serious trail rider, and that sells the horses alone as far as the gate goes. But disposition is something else too.
Yeah, I started on a Tennessee Walker, and I really liked. It was weird then when I had to ride a horse that actually bounced. You know, it was like riding a couch, so it was kind of nice that way. Tell me, though, what caught my attention was you guys have what you call spotted saddle horses. What's a spotted saddle horse?
Spotted saddle horse is, I guess you could compare it like a paint to a quarter horse. It's a painted version of a gated horse. There's probably a lot of bloodlines that come from Tennessee Walkers, but that's not all. They can be Missouri Foxtrotters and Rockies. Any horse cross that's had a color, anything
okay.
that's got color and gait would be considered a spotted saddle horse.
All right. Cool. Well, these are really cute. I'm actually looking at your website, which is Heaven's Gate Farm. By the way, that's a great name for a website. And great name for a farm. Heaven's Gate Farm. And I'm looking at the pictures here. There are some pretty colored horses here.
Well, thank you. Yep, we like a pretty horse, but we like a good-minded horse, too. And that comes along with the Tennessee Walking and Spotted Saddle horses. It's a willing disposition and a good, sound mind to do the job that we're asking them to do, which, of course, in our case, is trail riding. And you'll find that these horses they're so versatile. They can be involved in things that for years people looked at the Tennessee Walking and Spotted Saddle horse as show type animals. And that's so far from the truth. Their original roots were to be able to be traveling horses, long riding horses, and be able to cover a lot of ground comfortably, and that's what we do here, is cover a lot of ground and do it comfortably.
Well, so you've got the spotted horses. Why the spots? Why not just stick to the kind of regular breed?
Well, everybody likes variety, and you know, we like the spotted horses for the differences in colors that they offer, but it spices up the variety. Everyone, when they trail ride, they like to think they have the nicest looking horse on the ride, I'm sure.
So it's bragging rights is what it is. My horse is prettier than your horse. I got you. Because the horses that you guys have for sale on here is a beautiful pink buckskin color. There's a Palomino. I mean, there's just several different colors on here, and I think that it's fantastic. The registry, though, is there a spotted saddle horse registry that's different from the regular gated horses?
Yes, there is a registry. There's actually two for the spotted saddle horses. There's one called Spotted Saddle Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association, SHEBA, they call themselves. And then there's another called the National Spotted Saddle Horse Association. And, you know, so there's two that register basically on the same merits. It's gated, colored horse, and they are separate from the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association, which these horses can hold both sets of papers. They can be, you know, or all three sets of papers, and registered, you know, double and triple registered.
Okay, I've seen that in advertisements where they're like triple registered SSSWBEATWH, all the things. So that's great. Exactly. I've always been like, what are they talking about? Now it makes sense. Spotted saddle horse mounted, whatever. So you guys do a lot of the training and do some, like, you sell horses that you call trail wise. Can you explain a little bit about that?
We will put them on the trails and use the horse as we imagine that the most avid of trail riders will use the horse. And then that way, if they go to somebody that just rides occasionally, they still have the quality trail horse that they, you know, and that an avid rider that maybe rides every weekend would enjoy. And so we put miles on, we trailer them away to state parks, we put them in with the large crowds of horses on different trail rides, and then we ride out individually. We put them in all types of different terrain that they could experience. These horses, the buckskin horse that you just talked about, the buckskin and white, she will soon be headed to her new home in California. So the terrain there is different from our terrain here in Virginia. So we have to ensure that when she gets off the trailer in California, they're not going to be disappointed. They're going to be thrilled that she does everything that we say that she'll do. And so
now, are there some horses, Tennessee Walkers, you know, or, you know, the spotted horses that just do not take to the trail, that they just, it's not their calling in life?
Oh, yeah, definitely. What we look for in a horse that we're going to continue with the training further would be a very calm disposition, easy gait, meaning that they're not hot natured, they're not pushy, they're not extreme forward moving, some gated horses, and I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. There are some people that enjoy that ride, but most trail riders prefer a horse that is a little bit less forward and will kind of lay back a little bit, can walk along with maybe his quarter horse friends, and they can have a conversation, but, you know, when it's time to move along, they can smile and move on away. And so,
right.
You know, that's the type of horse we're looking for. And, you know, there are just some that don't fit the bill.
What's a good job for them then? What I was getting at. What's the job for a gated horse when they're not a good trail horse?
Well, there are a lot of things that they can do, and there's, you know, there's a big following in the show world, the National Walking Horse Association, and some of those people, they enjoy, you know, showing and riding around the arena. You can
right.
tell that's not really our cup of tea. We
right.
show a few halter horses every now and then, but the arena,
I'm looking,
the arena is not what turns us on.
I'm looking at the pictures of where you guys ride, and I can see why the arena doesn't turn you on. It's absolutely beautiful. You said it was in Virginia?
Yes. We actually just relocated from a farm in North Carolina where we were for almost 20 years. And but this has been a dream of ours, is to find something like this. We now back up to Corps of Engineer property, and we can ride for, we could probably ride for a couple of days and not cover the same path again. So it's
well,
very exciting, and it's just beautiful. We love it here.
Well, you're making Jennifer drool now, because that to be able to ride that long, Jennifer's into trail riding now, to be able to ride that long, and that's why a lot of the endurance riders are up that way too, because they can get the miles in that they need. Well, this is terrific, and the website is heavensgatefarm.com, and you can also find them and follow them. I've been following you guys on Facebook for a long time, which is why I thought to have you on. And you can just search for Heaven's Gate Farm on Facebook. You guys post lots of pretty pictures, and that's what I like on Facebook. So so I've been following you for some time now.
Glenn, don't lie.
Yes?
You like the pretty girls that they photograph on the horses. Don't lie.
That is another thing. I got to tell you, not only do they have pretty horses, they have pretty pretty girls, too, on the website and the Facebook page, I got to say.
Yep.
Well, you must not look at it very hard. I do appreciate that, but we have two cowboys on the horses most of the time.
I see the ones he's talking about. There's some cute sticks on these horses, no lie. So, yeah, definitely check them out, heavensgatefarm.com. And, you know, just you can really tell that you enjoy what you do. So, you know, I'm all about
thoroughly
loving your horses and loving what you do, and finding the job that they want to do, and kind of celebrating it, and you're putting the hours on them. And, you know, education for a horse makes their life a lot better. So good for you for giving them all a good education.
Well, thank you, Jamie.
Hey, if we ever get to Virginia in your neck of the woods, can Jennifer and I stop by for a ride?
Absolutely. We would be thrilled. We would love
it. Cool. That'd be fun. All right. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you being on. Have a great day, Judy.
All right. Thank y'all.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh, I love thank y'all. Thanks, y'all. See?
I know.
That's it.
We could tell she was from North Carolina and moved to Virginia, because usually the accent's not quite that thick in Virginia. But thank her for coming on. I appreciate her joining us. And they do take pictures of the owners, and as they sell the horses, the new owners post pictures on the Facebook page. And they have some pretty horses. So I loved your question. What makes them better if they have color?
Well, you know, some people get pretty sensitive about the way that their horse looks and you know, the colors and everything. But it was funny when she was like, yeah, because they have color and we like to brag.
It's bragging rights. That's
horse.
Right. These trail riders, they like bragging rights, too. I mean, they got to look good riding the Cadillac. So,
absolutely. I guess you get a good horse with a good mind, it better be pretty.
And guess what it's time for?
Ooh, oh, no. No. Not the crappy list.
It's time for Crappy List Wednesday. That's right, everybody. Time for Glenn's Crappy List. The problem is I don't have a crappy list today, because Robin Donaghy, who we determined that we say it that way, and she always makes sure I understand that on Facebook, Robin sent in a really good crappy list, and it's about horse stuff. So here we go. These are speaking of gates and trail riding and everything, these are new gates that are recognized by the equestrian community. Are you ready? And Jamie, tell me which one of these kind of gates. Am I talking about horse gates, you know, walk, trot, canter? Well, these are new ones. And I want to know which ones you have ridden, okay? Which ones you have ridden. So the first one is called the Boink. The Boink. B-O-I-N-K. Boink. One-beat gait with suspension, often exhibited by horses ridden into a field of white-tailed deer. The Boink.
Yeah, I mean, the video of the horse that saw the cow that we're looking at on our Facebook page, that's the Boink right there. One-beat gait exhibited by horses. And instead of this, it was white-tailed deer. This one was a cow.
That's right. There you go. the lateral swoop. Every one of us has done this, a sudden sideways leap with shoulder horizontal to the ground, leaving the rider hovering briefly over where the saddle used to be. Before descending directly to the ground, can be precipitated by a tractor starting up outside the arena, snow sliding off the arena roof, a large rock that magically turns into a bear, or a plastic green garbage bag. I have to tell you that every one of us has done this, where the horse just disappears from out underneath us. But we had a big bank barn up in Pennsylvania when we had our boarding stable. And it was one of those big bank barns, and this had a huge roof on it. Well, it was one of the years up in Pennsylvania where it snowed a lot. And everybody that has a barn like this experiences the snow sliding off the roof. Well, this particular day, one of our working students was taking her horse out the back door of the barn when it would just warmed up enough for a foot of snow off this entire roof, decided to come crashing down right on top of her and the horse.
Oh my God.
The whole thing came sliding off in a heck of a hurry on top of her and the horse. And believe it or not, that horse still walked through that door, which amazed me. Because I think if I was that horse, that neither one of them was hurt, but it was one of those moments that you probably just have to be there. And you don't want to be there.
No, that sounds awful.
On your head. So that's the lateral swoop. The whirling dervish. I know you've done this. Advanced version of the lateral swoop, in which the horse spins like a top, frequently launching the hapless rider a long distance by centrifugal force. Specialty of certain Arabians, often caused by viewing a four-wheeler approaching on the trail ahead.
Yep. I've been through that one.
Everybody has owned a thoroughbred on that one. How about the Yahooey? One of the natural airs above the ground, a highly suspended movement exhibited when turned out or during the first canter in an open field, a variation of the jet-assisted buck and fart, in which the horse achieves maximum height and momentum aided by the loud explosion of exhaust gas, occurs on cold, windy days when the wind goes up the horse's tail and blows his brains out his ears.
I've never heard of it. I mean, obviously the wind goes up their tail, but I think they're right. Like, it does blow the brains out the ears, and that is why they lose their mind. That makes sense. Totally. I had no idea that's what actually happened.
Yep, it's called the Yahooey. How about the Oh My God?
Okay, let me do this one because this happened to me about 2 days ago on the trail. And do you guys remember when I went to that, a bomb-proof your horse clinic? It was about 6 months ago, and the woman said that, you know, she could fix my horse's fear of Kroger bags, like plastic grocery shopping bags. For some reason, my warm blood is terrified of them. They're just the worst things in the world. They're just horrible. And so she's like, I'll fix it. I can fix it. Well, okay. Bless your heart, if you had probably 30 days of taking a plastic bag on the end of the whip and shake it in front of his face, maybe he'd eventually get over it, but it was not going to happen in an hour, okay? There was no way this chick was going to break my horse of hating plastic bags. So the other day, I'm riding along the trail, and I'm taking my 12-year-old student on her pony, and I'm riding my warm blood, we're just kind of hacking down the lane. And all of a sudden, my horse does the Oh My God, which is the sudden backwards movement accompanied by loud rolling snorts, ears forward, eyes bugging out. This is commonly exhibited by a horse that has spotted a monster. And coming down the path about 150 yards ahead of us, that far away, is a grocery bag that is full of air and is tumbling towards us like a tumbleweed. My horse exhibited the Oh My God, which is the front legs locked. The snorts start happening. The sudden backwards movement, snorting, rolling his eyes. I had to make the 12-year-old girl on the pony, okay, go and protect my 17-hand warm blood from a blowing plastic. I said, Rachel, go, right up there and get it. I was like, he's about to leave, go get it. So she trots on up, hops off her pony, grabs the plastic bag, puts it in her pocket, and My horse was okay. I'm like, thank you for the 12-year-old on the pony for protecting me and my big giant horse from a plastic flipping bag.
That's funny. The next one is the Hot Wheels. That's a speed gate in which all four legs rotate at high speed, often leaving rubber strips on the ground, frequently exhibited by runaway ponies, rushing jumpers, and horses returning to the barn. Yeah, we've all seen that too. That has other names. How about the shark circling the rowboat? A characteristic movement of a lesson horse in ever-decreasing concentric circles around the instructor until the horse is in the center, standing on the instructor's left foot, and further progress is impossible.
I love it. It says old school horses tell new school horses how to do this.
That also applies to trying to lunge a new horse, too. That's exactly what happens when you're lunging a new horse.
Yeah, and the next one, the sloth, is great because, you know, having some lesson horses here at my house, it's just absolutely amazing. Now, these are the kind of lesson horses you want to have, but can I read this one for you, Glenn?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
The sloth is the typical gait of a school horse who has perfected the art of laziness. No perceptible forward movement in spite of encouraging kicks, clucks, flapping reins, ineffective crop swats, shouts, and jumping up and down. But the note is where it really gets intelligent because, note, the sloth can be transformed into Hot Wheels by the sight of the instructor advancing with a lunge whip in their hand. Yes, I have done that. I mean, I'm like, chili, trot. Come on. And you see these little legs kicking because they're kicking so hard because they don't even reach past the saddle, you know, and they're like flop, flop, flop. And I come up with a lunge whip, Chili's trotting. There he goes.
How about the flapper, a movement in which the horse shakes like a wet dog, totally terrifying the beginning rider. Horse then grins an evil grin and eats grass.
It terrifies the beginning rider. It terrifies every rider. Oh,
true. I was going to add that. How about the wallow? A rotational movement performed on the ground, especially in mud, sand, or water, usually defying the purity of a perfectly clean saddle regardless of screens. Always perform when the instructor is at the other end of the trail ride or not looking. We've all had that happen where the horse just gets you covered in mud. And then there's the upsy-daisy, which relates to the wallow, and that immediately follows the wallow and always occurs before the arrival of the instructor. And you can just figure out what the upsy-daisy is. The snail and the rocket. We have two more here. The snail and the rocket. The two walking gaits of experienced trail horses on the trail. Going out, the walk is so snail-like, time perceptibly slow. Coming back, trotting horses can barely keep up with the rocket walk. Essentially, horses perfectly understand physical law. The speed of the walk is directly proportional to the direction of the trail. That is so true.
And they know, too. It's that you don't have to take them out and turn them around and come back. You can do an exact, like, say you leave and you do a square. The second you make that final turn towards the barn, you can be a half mile away. They know what direction they're heading east. Let's go. Giddy up.
That's
you're going
right.
to get home.
You're exactly right. I don't know. They have better compasses than we do, that's for sure. And then the last one is the bobber, a gait which an old experienced lesson or trail horse proceed with children or beginner on back. Walk a few feet, stop. Horse pulls reins through hands of beginning rider and eats grass. Repeat 50 times. I can tell you
exactly.
That this is also not just for beginners because with the trail ride we took to the mountains, Jennifer, you were riding a bobber, but you were pretty good at making sure you didn't repeat it the 50 times.
He caught me a couple times, though.
He did catch you a couple times.
He was really good.
So that's not a beginner thing either. That's a horse. There are just horses that are bobbers, and ponies are great for that. And it's so cute when you go to a horse show. I don't think it's cute for the rider, but when you go to a horse show, you know it, Janie. You've seen this scene. It's a little tiny pony, 12 to 13 hands maybe, and the little kid looks so cute, a little outfit, and the horse just eats his whole way. If it's on a grass, if they're riding a grass, it just eats his whole way around the park. And the little kid's pulling, and the little pony just will not pick its head up. How many times do you see that at a little horse show? It's so cute.
Oh, yeah. That is why grazing reins were invented right there. They, catch them. Catch them. And it doesn't matter how many times. Yeah, I just remember riding horses in Jamaica. I went on a trip to Jamaica, and I was like, I'm going to ride horses here. I would trot ahead of the group and stop and let the horse eat. Don't ride horses in Jamaica because you want to feed them all. My God, they were starving. So that was the only time I've actually encouraged a horse. Please, eat while you can. Just get the food. Get it. Let's go. Eat, eat, eat. Here they come. Here they come. Trot up. We'll go to the next patch. That's what I did my whole ride in Jamaica. Instead of enjoying the thing, I'm like, oh, buddy, you need some grass. You need some grass. Whatever we can get you. We're going to spend this hour feeding you. And he's like, and the guy was like, stop doing that. Stop doing it. He's going to do that forever now. And I was like, good. He needs some dang food.
All right. You have the song dedication today.
I do. I'm really excited that we found this one, and I appreciate you letting me know about it because I just love Dan Roberts, oldbootsmusic.com, and we are dedicating this one to my father, who actually, for the first time ever, sent me a text message. I taught him, it took an hour and a half yesterday, but is able to teach my dad how to take a picture and send it to somebody's phone. And I now have a photo of my father outside of the OK Corral, where the gunfight at the OK Corral took place, and he's staying in a hotel. And he's like, it's so beautiful, Jamie. When I called him, he's like, my view out my hotel window overlooks the OK Corral. I was like, who wants a view of that? Like, most people, it's the Grand Canyon or it's a beautiful mountain scene. No, you've got a sign that says OK Corral. That is your.
Yeah, isn't this the same guy that told us he has a life size cutout of John Wayne in his house?
Yes, he does, and much to the dismay of his live-in girlfriend. She has been trying to, and then there's also the, you remember those talking fish that you hit the button and they'd start singing?
Yeah.
He has a Johnny Cash one of those.
Oh,
you hit the button, and it's like a Johnny Cash bobblehead, and it starts singing. So, yeah, he is definitely like the old Western, old country music kind of guy. So we are going to dedicate this song to my dad, who is currently outside of the OK Corral down in southern Arizona. I Miss John Wayne by Dan Roberts.
Been looking for something that's missing in our world, and I wonder if my search is all in vain. Where's the good guys? Where's the bad guys? Where has law and justice gone? Lord, how I miss John Wayne. All alone in the saddle, with guns blazing in each hand, with true grit in his teeth, he held the reins. He charged hard into battle, where a lesser man he would have run. Lord, how I miss John Wayne. He never backed down from a job that he had to do, and he could cross the line from talking with a clenched fist attitude. He knew right was right and wrong was wrong, but today they seem the same. Oh Lord, how I miss John Wayne. Thought I'd see the day, but his time has come and gone. And now a man's man, he's looked upon with shame. What we're needing in this world today is men with the guts to back up what they say. Lord, how I miss John Wayne. He never backed down from a job that he had to do, and he could cross the line from talking with a clenched fist attitude. He knew right was right and wrong was wrong, but today they seem the same. Oh Lord, how I miss John Wayne. Well, there have been a lot of cowboys who have come and gone. Men like Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, Johnny Mack Brown, Tex Ritter, Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys, Jimmy Stewart, Bob Nolan, Cisco Kid, Tom Mix, Buck Jones, old Walter Brennan, Bob Steele, Ray Reed, Bob Crosby, Hopalong Cassidy, Gabby Hayes, Ben Johnson, of course old Louie L'Amour. They're all cowboy heroes, and in many ways they're the same. But Lord, how I miss John Wayne.
That is Dan Roberts, oldbootsmusic.com, and that's I Miss John Wayne, dedicated to my daddy, who does really miss the Duke. The Duke, but he gets to see him every day in the life-size stand-up of the Duke in his living room. So there you go. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. And it is that time again, Glenn.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Well, I would like to welcome to the show Michelle Anderson from thehorse.com and Dr. Jones from Florida Equine. And you guys, we've been doing a month of baby information. So we've talked about getting them pregnant. We've talked about problem horses getting pregnant. Now, like, let's say we have a wonderful pregnancy. Dr. Jones gets our mare in foal, and, we've got the horse is pregnant, so we're going to talk today about having the baby. It's that time, Michelle.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. No, we don't have Dr. Jones here yet, but how is everything over there at thehorse.com?
It's good, but, you know, if Dr. Jones isn't there quite yet, I have something to share with you guys. I'll take this moment to do that. We just posted a equine toxicology horse course video on thehorse.com this week, and I went through and watched it and did some edits on it, and I found it really, really interesting. It's from University of Kentucky, and they're talking about all kinds of things that can poison your horses. Of course, right after I watched it, I then found a nasty weed in my horse's hay, so that's one of the perks of doing this job. It's finding stuff that's going to hurt or kill my horses.
It's on thehorse.com, and you can see all the things that could potentially kill your horse. So,
So you go under videos and then go to horse course, and it's going to be the newest horse course on there from University of Kentucky.
You know, if I may point out that I love thehorse.com and I do love the information, and I'm definitely your target audience because I love learning and I love kind of seeing what it is. But I literally am paranoid every time I read your thing. I'm like you said, weed in the hay. Oh my God, there's a weed in the hay. Let me go through my field. Like, is this going to freak me out and I'm going to become like a little bit crazy.
I think you're going to watch this and be glad to have this information about ways to protect your horses from potential toxins. That's definitely the way I felt about it. And the weed I found, I have to add, was not a toxic weed. It wasn't poisonous. So it was ugly and nasty, but I got online, figured out what it was, and everything was okay. But it is good to be aware of those kind of things. So check it out. It's a good one.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we're going to do is I'm going to go look at it and kind of be paranoid. But I'm glad it wasn't a poisonous weed in your case. So
no.
That's good. That's good. So still waiting on – oh, Dr. Jones is on an emergency.
She
said she'll be available in about 5 minutes. So, yeah, you got anything else to kill time with until we got her here?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about the March issue, if that should be hitting your mailboxes right about now. We have some great stuff on caring for Western performance horses and injuries that are typical for Western performance horses. We're doing a series on performance-related injuries this year, so you can look at that. We also have some information there about cardiac issues in horses and heart health. And then our features editor did a piece on BLM Mustangs and the holding facilities down in Oklahoma. And we also have a video online of that if you want to see what those facilities look like and see those horses.
Is it scary?
No, actually, it looks really nice. And that was Alex's report after going down there. So
oh, cool. Well,
that's a little bit of good news.
I wanted to ask you if you know anything about this, because I've been reading about it in several different spots online. Is this – I'm sure it's been used for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, but there's a new trend in horses to, if your horse has a wound, to smear honey all over it.
And we do have a new article up about that. That is something, though, that I haven't read yet. But I did open up thehorse.com this morning first thing, like I do every morning, and I saw that on there. So I get to learn, too, which is one of the great things about this job. I am constantly learning. I'm constantly terrified for my horse's health because of the things I learn. But I also find ways to protect my horses, which is great. But I also want to let everyone know that I'm going to be starting blogging. Hopefully this week I will have my first blog up. So if you're interested in following what we're doing at thehorse.com or just regular old horse happenings, you can look for that later this week. We'll be posting that on the Facebook page once it goes up. And that's at Facebook's thehorse.com's page.
And the first article,
follow.
Jamie, is going to be my weekly nightmare every Wednesday morning.
I'm sorry, Glenn.
I'm looking at the headlines here, and the problem I have with thehorse.com, and everybody knows I'm not good with big words, and I really am bad at words with friends, too. But when I look at the headlines, I can't even read them. That's the problem I have with thehorse.com. I can't even read the headlines. Equine leptospirosis abortion update from UK BDL.
Well, you get to read it, and then you get smarter, Glenn.
Yeah, Glenn.
The part I was missing. That's the part I was missing, is the smarter part.
You know, we really try to keep our information top shelf, but also understandable for the horse owner. So I'm hoping that once you get past those headlines, you get into the articles and learn some stuff about taking care of your horses.
Okay, all right.
Now,
that's what we hope.
Like this, I'm reading this. Michelle, yesterday my girlfriend and I went out to try to find a horse to rescue because she lost her very expensive horse. She's like, this time I'm just going to get a free horse. There's so many horses that need homes. And we found several that were free. And we did pick one up that was at a very bad facility. But I was reading on here that you guys have done a study on horse owners relinquishing to versus adopting horses. So you've got some studies about who is giving away the horses and who is adopting the horses. Now, I'm reading these numbers here. This is awesome.
66% of the people that give away the horses are single women. Check. It was a single woman that gave away the horse yesterday. 62% of the adopting adopters were families or couples. Yes, the woman that took the horse is a couple. She's a married woman, and it's just her and her husband, so they are adopting another horse. There's also, they did a study on reported incomes of relinquishing owners. Apparently, were evenly distributed among the income categories, while most adoptive owners' incomes were in the upper three categories that you guys use. So just an interesting article on who's given away the horses and who's taking them back. And there's also a link to read about some second-chance horses and some X-race horses that have been transitioned. So definitely check that out on thehorse.com. I think I'm going to post that on our Facebook page right now, because this is actually just, especially with the day I had yesterday, pretty topical.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of horses out there that need homes. In my area, we got hit really hard up here in Central Oregon. Lots of horses that ended up without places to go or people to take care of them. Lots of people with lost jobs up here, high unemployment rate during the recession. But I have to say that it feels like things are getting better, and it seems like horse prices are coming up a little bit more. We aren't seeing so many horses on Craigslist looking for free homes. So hopefully we're starting to move out of the woods on that a little bit. And people like your friends going out and finding horses that need homes, that's really, really great, and I think helps a lot. So did she find the horse that she's going to take?
Yeah. Go to our Facebook page, and you can check it out. After looking at several horses, one that was up for adoption for the adoptive price of $3,500, one that they said was $16,200 and it ended up being $17,300. And then there's one that we found, and the fencing was baling twine, and he was in a field of.
I saw that picture this morning. That was.
That's him. That's him. So he's no longer in there. He's in my front yard right now.
So your friend got the horse, but you get to house the horse. Is that how that works?
Yeah. Yeah, she lives quite a ways away from me, so I brought the horse home. She's going to go try to find a boarding facility near her house. But, yeah, he's probably going to stay here for a month or so. So, yes, six stalls, now eight horses. And like I said earlier, we're doing a little bit of pasture rotation. you're going out right now because I don't have a stall for you. Okay, you're going out on this one because I don't have a stall.
Well, you sound very crowded.
I think every horse girl has done that at one time or another. Every horse girl has done that.
Yeah.
Have you approached the people next door yet, Jamie, that have the cow and said, you know, cows and horses can live together? You haven't approached
them? You know what I did? The people next door have a cow that lives by itself, and they have this wonderful grass pasture, and I just, you know, their cow is alone, and she's very lonely, and she moves all the time. And I said, if you would like, I would be willing to donate my old 35-year-old one-eyed quarter horse to be friends with Maggie Moo, send her over there, and they can just be buddies. No takers yet, Glenn. No takers.
Good try, though. Good try. That was the horse girl try right there.
I have three paddocks right now, and only two of them are full. So I have one empty paddock right now.
What's wrong with you? I am sending one up
there. I know.
You're not a good horse girl.
I'm the one who cleans those paddocks and throws that hay. So being down to two right now is kind of nice.
Oh my God, I'm envious because I am the one that cleans the pastures and the one that feeds the hay. And as soon as the show's over, I have to go get another load of hay, which currently is $18 a bale. And I'm just about ready to go crazy. So anyway, we've got Dr. Jones here. She made it. And sorry that we caught you in the middle of what was probably not a very fun thing, Dr. Jones, but we appreciate you joining us.
Yes, I'm happy to be here. Ready to talk about new life.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to talk about what you just had to do or no?
It seems to be kind of a a common theme lately with the aged horses that are down and can't get up. And God love the people that have keeping, you know, the horses going that are older and doing the best they can. So it just seems to be a common theme. And, you know, that, that down and can't get up is a very frightening place for a horse to be because they're fight or flight. So,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I am glad that, that you were able to help that horse and owner out. And thank you for joining us to talk about these babies, too. We want to answer just a few quick questions here.
Sure.
Okay. So, you know, we talked a little bit about getting the mares pregnant. So once you've waited your 11 months, you're hoping for this healthy foal. So I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about what those healthy foals look like.
Well, you know, there's a real simple rule that a lot of people like to keep in mind as it's a 1-2-3 rule. So I'm going to start with right at birth. You know, there's the three stages of having the baby, first stage, second, and then the third is passing the placenta. But the second stage is where the birth occurs. And those, after that stage, it's a 1-2-3. So in 1 hour, the baby should stand. In 2 hours, the baby should nurse. And in 3 hours, the placenta should pass. Those are key things right off the bat. That is involved with newborn exams that people should be aware of. And so those are three key things that a veterinarian is usually not aware or there for. And so they ask the owner, did they get up or did they nurse in 2 hours? And, you know, did that pass within basically 3 to 6 hours? And, yeah, you've got a really good road. So that really means that the rest of the exam will probably go well.
So when should you have your vet out to look at the baby? Is that a requirement?
Well, it's not a requirement, but it's a good idea. The vet should be out within the first 24 hours. I always recommend to check the what we call the IgG protein that's in their blood that lets them gets the immune factors from mom and helps protect baby from all other environmental issues that they might have. So I like to see them anywhere between 6 hours after they nurse up to about 12 because that gives you a little bit of leeway in case something goes wrong. They can quickly find some colostrum. You can get some the false colostrum they have out there is an endoserum or serum colostrum that you can give orally to help boost that IgG level in their bloodstream. They're absorbing all the IgG factors from mom's milk. And they
now,
can only
Dr.
do
Jones,
after 24
if I,
hours.
Dr. Jones, if I can jump in here real quick, if you can move to a window or a door or something where we have a little bit better connection, you're breaking up a little bit. But I want to ask you, when you talk about the IgG level, I know that that's when, you know, the horse is born. You want to see them 6 to a couple hours after that as far as checking that IgG level. Tell everybody what that is and how important it is.
Yeah, it's a protein that's passed from mom to baby. And it's not the only one. There's other ones. And is this a better spot?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And it's passed from mom to baby. And what it does is it provides the highest amount of immune protection for that baby. So they get it from the first colostrum, the first milk from mom. And some mares produce, some do not. And some leak. You'll see streaming going on before they foal. So they'll stream out all the good colostrum and be left with not so good colostrum. So you want to make sure that that level is at 800 above. And those at 600, they're kind of in a gray zone that you really should bump them up higher. Anything below 600, 400 is definitely a passive transfer, and those horses or babies should probably almost be hospitalized and given IV plasma to help them get going because they're not going to jumpstart very well. They're going to get weaker and weaker by the minute, not even by the hour, but by the minute. So it's a very important protein that's passed from mom's first milk to baby, and only the first 24 hours is what we call the gut is open, meaning that there is absorption of these large, they're very large molecule proteins that pass through the intestinal wall. And only in that first 24 hours is that allowed to happen. After that, the GI tract goes over because other large proteins or other large bacteria like E. coli and some of those other factors could also be absorbed. So, you know, if you're absorbing the good things, the bad things can also get shut that down after 24 hours. So I like to check their blood level. I pull blood, and I do a stall side check. It checks to see if their IG level is above 800. And what that tells me is we're on the good road of heading to a good life. And we don't start off behind the eight ball or having some lacking of immune protection. So that's why I find it very important to do that within the first 24 hours. Colostrum, it's cheaper to go to the farm than it is to go to the hospital and do the plasma.
Hey, Dr. Jones, I think we might have to try calling you back or something because we're getting about every other word at this point. So this is really important stuff. And Michelle, Dr. Jones, if you want to have us call you back, or do you want to just send us to a website and let you go, or what kind of spot are you in?
Is she back? I have some great resources on thehorse.com that can fill in some of the gaps that we've missed with the phone breaking up. We have a head-to-tail neonate care article. If you go in to our search bar and put in 16821, and that's 16821, or neonate, it'll pull that up. And that will give you a good idea of what your healthy foal should look like from nose to tail. We also have a Steps to Keep Your Newborn Healthy article, and it's 15590. So, again, that's 15590, and we can put those up on our Facebook page so people can get all of that critical information that you want to have about those little babies once they first make it out into the world.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. And, Dr. Jones, I know it was definitely a challenge to get you on the air today with being so busy this morning. So we really appreciate it. And, of course, we will talk to y'all again next week. What's in store for us next week? Do you have any idea?
We do have some ideas. We're hoping that we'll be talking about Western performance next week, so stay tuned.
I was also going to maybe mention that maybe you could talk a little bit about the rare sinus infection that I will be flushing from my Border's horse nostril today. Yeah.
You know, I saw a picture of that up on Facebook. I hadn't looked at that really closely, though, but... Yeah, I'm sure Glenn didn't like that much.
No, he did not like me, Glenn.
He told the whole darn story, too.
You're not going to go help her flush this thing out, Glenn?
No, I basically took my headphones off and went, la, 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 as they were drilling through the horse's head. Ugh.
So, Glenn, are you not going to help me put the needle through the horse's skull and then hook up the IV system to flush his sinus cavity out today?
Not if I was your husband and lived in the same house. Would I help?
Don't worry, he won't help either.
He's a fighter pilot. That makes me feel better.
Yeah, the man with the iron stomach cannot do a couple things, and definitely this would be one of them. So you're not alone, Glenn. thank you, Michelle.
Dr. Jones.
Yeah, I figured as much. So thank you, Michelle, for joining us. We'll
thank
talk
you.
To you guys again next week.
Okay, next week. Talk to you later.
Bye, Michelle.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Good information. Sad that we couldn't quite get it. So everybody, please just go to thehorse.com and read that if you're having babies this time of year.
Yeah, that was a tough one for Doctor. You could tell that she was emotional when she came on, and it was hard to make the transition there. And then her phone crapped out, so that didn't help. But, you know, considering how often we have her on, you know, we don't usually have problems. We're pretty lucky. Can I tell you one last story before we go today?
You can make this show go next 3 hours, because as soon as we get off the air here, I have to go stick a needle in a horse's face and flush his sinus cavity. So this can go on all day.
We have, we talk a lot. Yesterday, in the European report, we talked about Zara Phillips, who is the Queen's granddaughter and was the big eventer over there in England, and also was a BBC sports personality, very well recognized in England. If you're in the horse world in England, you know Zara Phillips. Well, she's back in the news again today. Zara? Who's Zara? Are you sure it isn't like the other word that's in question, hoof and hoof?
First of all, you're wrong. It is a hoof. It is not a hoof. And I thought it was Zara, but I could be wrong. So you go ahead and just carry on. But we should probably know this, as she is the Queen's granddaughter and the one-time BBC Sports Personality of the Year. And everybody over in Europe should recognize her And apparently, well, apparently that was not happened.
Not so much. She tried to go to the North Hereford Hunt in the point-to-point meet. Remember? Oh, I think that actually we did talk a little bit about that yesterday. Well, what didn't come out when we talked to Victoria yesterday was that as she was driving up to get into the hunt and was stopped at the gate, she didn't have her pass along because somebody else had her pass. Well,
her mom.
Was it her mom? Yes.
Yeah.
The Princess Royal had her pass. And the gate official, nice guy by the name of Tim Hinton, apparently was not having any of this and didn't recognize her and said, if you don't have a pass, you can't come in unless you pay $12.50 or whatever. And she said, well, you know, I don't have any money. Apparently, like the queen, she doesn't carry any cash. And she said, I don't have any money. Well, he said, well, then you're not coming in. Apparently, there had been quite a few gate crashers, and he was just doing his duty, this poor little volunteer guy. And so he wasn't going to let her in. And he said, I feel rather embarrassed, and I have had a lot of ribbing since this. But it was raining, and she was wearing a headband. I just saw a face at a car window and asked for the pass. And, of course, when she said her mother had it, I had no idea that she was referring to Princess Anne. And apparently he had quite a line of cars and was trying to get people through, and she was driving a quite ordinary car. It wasn't anything special. Until a friend of his came up and said, hey, that's Zara. And he thought that it was just a friend of the friend's, and till the friend said, no, that's Zara Phillips. So it took him a second or two, and he realized that he better let her through, and he said, apparently just said, well, you better come in then. So poor Zara almost didn't get in because she wasn't carrying $12.50 and also wasn't recognized at the gate.
You know, that's actually... Why wouldn't she just say, listen, I'm Princess Anne's daughter.
Do you know who I am?
Don't you know who I am? I'm a big deal. And the fact that she didn't have any money, because why would she need money? She's the queen's granddaughter. They don't need money. She's royalty, for God's sake. But, yes, definitely very entertaining. But I can't blame the guy. I felt bad for him because, you know, he's trying to get people in. It's raining. It's stressful. Everybody's probably trying to sneak in. And here's some young chick who thinks she can just come on in. My mom has my pass. She's in there. Everybody's heard those stories. You try to sneak in. Like, you're at a concert, and you try to sneak down to the front row, and they're like, where's your ticket? And like, oh, I left it in my seat, which is down there in the front row. Oh, okay, sure, lady. Come on through. They never let you come on through. Trust
this poor guy's going to get ribbed forever, too. He apparently runs a farming oil supply company, and, you know, he's never going to hear the end of this. This is going to be forever. It's going to be forever. Hey, one more.
His friends, I would put a picture of her on a T-shirt and just give it to him and be like, this is, or I'll walk around wearing it around him.
Hey, another story here, because I have to hold you up from doing that gross, gory job you're going to do. And I'm not even going to say the name. It's Ekaterina, I think, is her first name. She's a 22-year-old, and she is now the proud owner of New York's most expensive apartment, $88 million luxury apartment, because her dad is a fertilizer magnate out of Russia. So he's this Russian rich guy who... has this little daughter, 22 years old, and she is now the lucky owner of an $88 million luxury apartment in New York City. Well, one of the things that apparently she also is she's an avid equestrian, and she has three horses, Lucky the Man, one I can't say, and another called Europo. I love how the article says this. Don't you love this? However, she doesn't earn her living from horseback riding. No kidding, none of us do.
You know, not to be a hater, but looking at the photo of her jumping a horse, I can tell you why she does not earn a living riding horses. Because first of all, girl, get that dang ponytail in a bun. You're riding in a hunter jumper show and your ponytail is sticking out. You got that long ass blonde hair flailing all over the place. Second of all, good Lord, look at your lower leg. Her lower leg has slid back over this fence until she is almost kicking the horse in the flank. So, of course, she doesn't make her living riding horses because she's actually not a qualified rider. Sorry. I can't take it.
But she does have an $88 million apartment in New York City, just saying.
Well, then she needs to work on riding with no stirrups, okay? I don't care how many millions of dollars your apartment costs. You still need to get on the horse with no stirrups.
And that's all. Now we have to let you go do your brain gross gum.
Oh, man.
Have
okay,
fun with that. I won't be thinking about you. I will not be thinking about you.
You know what's really funny is that I had all the equipment on the countertop last night, like the bags of fluid, the penicillin, the whole kind of connector, the needles. And Chad's like, honey, can you please move that? It's making me sick to even just look at it. It is making me just sick. You can even see the utensils that I will be using tomorrow. It was enough to gross them out. So everybody have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld, and flush, okay? That's all I can say. Sure you don't have another story, Glenn?
No, that's it. You're done.
Anything else? Anyone?
No.
Cry.
That's good.